Hello, good day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Magic the First Pioneers podcast. This podcast is all about the Pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I feel like I'm getting weirder with that intro every time. I'm starting to see how Saffron Olive ended up with his, you know, overly pronounced openings.
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and introduce yourself, though?
Hey, everybody. It's Ryan coming at you from the Tokyo area of Japan.
Yeah, so we made a joke last week about maybe trying to break our streak, having Ekeros on 3 weeks in a row. Was going to happen, and then, you know, we're not gonna joke about you, but you slept in a little bit,
yeah.
And we missed our time there. It's real hard to schedule times when we're all the way across the globe.
Yeah. It's like 7 a.m. for me, so...
Yeah, and it was 1 a.m. for him and, you know, 5 in the afternoon for me. So that's how it goes. But we want to do this episode anyways, so we are talking today. You know, can I introduce this topic? Because I'm kind of excited.
Yeah,
about
if you
this.
Want to.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're the one who's kind of brought it up as a good idea, but I think that it's a great thing. And I have not been playing Paper Magic since COVID. You know, I was falling a little bit behind before COVID. You know, online is a little bit more convenient for me. Still waiting for it to be on Arena, but, you know, Modo's where Pioneer is living right now. But things are starting to happen. You know, where I live, United States, doing pretty good on vaccinations. And I have to start looking at the fact that I have no paper collection of Pioneer, and I'm going to be wanting to play Pioneer in the next couple months. I don't know how many of you out there, listeners, are in the same situation, but what we wanted to talk about, and hopefully you can help me with, is how do I get back into paper Pioneer after...
Two years, basically.
Unforced hiatus, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you were in the same boat as Amit, and I actually have a lot of the old Pioneer cards, but, you know, I've been noticing recently, I think I have a card, and I'm like, oh no, it's just something that I had on Arena, so I get that kind of confused.
See, that's tough, yeah, and especially, I really don't play much Standard at all right now, and it's tough to keep up with all the things that are breaking Standard when they move into Pioneer as well.
And a lot of the stuff can probably be bought for cheap anyways, so...
Hopefully. I mean, I think the Standard stuff is where it kills me. I would look at things like, you know, I've been mostly looking at Modo prices, so that this is going to be an interesting change for me, because I have been looking a whole ton at Modo prices, and there are some things that are way more expensive there, some things that are way less expensive there. So it's going to be a little bit weird, you know, jumping back into this and saying what we're going to want to. So is that kind of what we want to talk about? Why don't you define exactly what our plan for this episode is?
So like we said, we're going to be talking about a little bit about prices, maybe, you know, I think not so much. I think if we're going to focus more on the staples. So, you need to have it sort of cards, you know, like this is a big part of the Pioneer format, and you don't want to, scrimp or save on some of these cards. Cause it's not, I was thinking this was going to be like a budget episode, but I think we're going to focus more on just like what cards do you absolutely have to have in each color if you're going to be like building decks, you know, in the format.
Okay, so I guess that's a little different than what I was thinking. I was pretty going to focus heavily on the part of it where it's, hey,
finance.
I want to know what are the, especially the new cards, but what are the cards I need? Whereas you're sounding like you want to more focus on, hey, here are the physical staples that you need to have to play Paper Magic. And again, like this is assuming that you're not building a single deck. If you've got a single favorite deck, you know, go ahead and get those cards, play that. But if you're someone like me who I try and play everything, I try and be a format expert. I try and make sure that I'm trying everything, playing everything, brewing things that have nothing to do with the current meta anyways. So it's nice to have tools in my toolbox that are beyond the scope of just one or two of my favorite decks.
I mean, I hate blue. I have told you this many times on the podcast, and I'm probably not going to worry about buying any of these blue cards. So don't feel like you need to go out and buy all of these cards. You know, if you're a white-black player, buy all the black and white cards. If you're, you know, a red-green player, buy all the red and green cards, you know. But, you know, we're saying, you know, if you do plan on playing these decks or want to play these types of decks, you should probably look into getting these cards.
Okay.
Yeah, so... Yeah, we have some ideas. We all came up with our lists. I think Amit also sent us his list as well, so we can kind of use that to fill out our list after we go over ours.
And I wing it anyways.
Yeah. And then after that, you know, after we talk about what cards, you know, that you should get, we'll say, okay, these are the decks that you can make with it. You know, just to kind of say, you know, this...
Give a little bit of that noise.
Yeah, and then... yeah, and if you want to, I guess, you know, you're talking a little bit about price. You know, we could say, hey, you know, should you buy this now or should you wait for a reprint? If it's like $60 or $50, you know, do you want to spend that money on it now? You know,
either a reprint or I think the other thing that could be important is, so hang on, let me quick think when COVID started set wise. What was the last set that came out in, you know, beginning of last year, beginning of 2020?
I want to say it was Theros that happened like, what, March or April, right when things were starting to get bad.
Is that right? No, that doesn't sound right, does it?
Or was that, because we had
maybe January. Maybe you are right. Hang on.
Because January, yeah, January was the Magic Fest, and Uro was not in Pioneer yet at that point.
Oof. You might be right. So most recent set here.
It's like when
these are not real sets.
So when pandemic happened.
Let's see. Kaldheim was this year.
Yeah.
Zendikar was September. Ikoria was April.
Was it?
We had the core set in June, between July. There. Theros was January 2020. Okay, so yeah.
I think that was like the week of maybe that it came out. Maybe it was in Pioneer, but like no one had started playing it yet, I think.
Okay, so yeah, so Theros was out. Just the other thing that I want to make sure I'm tying in with there is what is rotating out of Standard?
At that time?
Just to, this year, because, you know, you're talking about, hey, do you want to wait on a $50, $60 card? Like, I was just looking at, man, Great Henge is still... Yeah. $50.
I want to say that's gone this year, right?
So Thorn of Eldraine, Theros Beyond Death, Ikoria, and Core 21?
Maybe? Yeah.
Are the four that will rotate in end of this year.
Yeah, so let me see
the exact... We don't know the exact date yet, but it'll be like September-ish this year.
So like in 4 months or so.
Yeah, so yeah, that's not a huge amount of time. I mean, that's another set at least coming out, but... or is it with Dungeons & Dragons?
Well, Dungeons & Dragons, like the core, replaces the core set this summer.
Right.
And then after that,
okay,
we get another
set.
Set
after Dungeons & Dragons. We'll have a new set come out. That'll be the, what is it? Is that the Innistrad one?
Yeah, I think Innistrad's coming out in the fall.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay, let me clarify. September 2021, Throne of Eldraine, Theros Beyond Death, Ikoria, Core Set 2021 are all rotating. We should see some pretty significant drops on the price of standard staples that are in those four sets, which is a lot of cards. So I just want to put that as something in mind when you're looking at something like the Great Henge and saying, hey, this is a $50 card. You're telling me it's a staple. Do I have to buy it now? Can I wait until September buy it for $10?
Exactly.
Hopefully.
Well, it is an EDH card too, probably. But yeah, anyways.
Yeah, that's why I said $10 and not, you know, $2.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, let's jump into this. Let's just kind of go over. Like today, we're just going to hit up the monocolored cards because otherwise it would take hours and hours to do this whole topic. Let's just start with white, you know, the Wooburg. Like you say, the Wooburg setup or whatever. So what cards would you say each player should have in paper from white? And why?
So done a little bit of, you know, I only during the pandemic really built up on Modo. So a little bit of an idea of what it's like to be like, hey, I need to start finding pieces that are in a lot of the decks. The first one for me that really came up is Skyclave Apparition.
Yep, that's on my list. Now, how can you play that?
You know, it's in any of the Coco decks, really. That's the big thing. It's in, like, the green-white Coco decks. It's in the green-white X Coco decks. It's in the Incarnatic Enigmation. Why do I always mispronounce that card? Enigmatic Incarnation deck. You know, it's in...
Variety,
you know, it's sometimes in spirits, not often. Yeah, it's in a variety of things. I feel like it's one of those cards that's in a lot of stuff. Great card. You know, I think I'm borrowing someone's on Modo, and that's why I'm able to play a bunch of white decks that would otherwise be priced out for me. But that is one of those cards that, you know, Zendikar Rising, it's like $28 or something, $30
right
on
now?
Modo.
Oh.
On Modo it is. Tabletop, looking at prices right now, it's more like $7 to $10. Okay,
and I think that's very reasonable price for something that's probably going to be a staple. Not in like all the top tier decks, but definitely gives you the opportunity to build a lot of decks with it.
Yeah, it does show up in a lot of different Pioneer decks. And I think that if you're playing white, it's not something I would want to be locked out of. So it's a good card to keep your eye on. You'll want to pick it up. And that's me, again, looking at it as, hey, this is a pricey card that's in these colors that we'll see play. Like, it's not quite the white Thoughtseize, but I feel like that's the closest thing I've got to a Thoughtseize in white.
All right. My choice for white, my first choice, I should say, is Chain to the Rocks. I think it's
an interesting one.
Really good card for sideboards. Maybe even some people play it in the main board. I don't know. But it's, you know, we always say, you know, there is no Path to Exile or, you know, Swords of Plowshares in Pioneer. And honestly, this is probably going to be the closest we're going to get as a one drop that exiles a creature, even though they can get it back. And it is relegated only to people that are playing Mountains. So, you know, you got like Boros, Burn. Plays it in the sideboard, I believe, and I'm guessing, you know, some of, like, the other, I don't know, Chain to the Rocks, or, no, sorry, Chain to the Rocks, the other control decks, what is it called, the Fires of Inventions decks maybe plays them in the sideboard.
Yeah, we see that some of the Yorion decks, some of the enchantment decks, too, so things that run SRAM will sometimes run
Does Kiora, or not Kiora, Winota play it? In the sideboard?
I don't usually see it in Winota. I think that they're usually focused on creature-based removal when possible. Like, normally something like the... Let me take a look at my most recent list, but it definitely could be played there if it's not.
I think it's a very solid card, though. I would recommend picking it up. And I think it's like a dollar.
It's probably a dollar at most, under a dollar right now.
So I would consider it a staple. All right. Any other white cards? You want to move on to the next one?
Like the next color next, or the next
or the next card, white card, yeah.
Ooh, trying to think. You know, I did just mention SRAM. I feel like he's probably another one that we should be just thinking of. I mean, again, it's tough to name like cards that are in a million decks. And it's something that's good about Pioneer is that, you know, it's not like there's only these cards and they're played in every single kind of deck. It's more like there's a lot of good cards and different ones are played in decks. But I think that that's a great card. It's been in a good spot. You know, it's not going to get significantly cheaper. Smart thing to pick up if you haven't already. Now, that one I do want to mention, as well as the one you just said, are not ones from the last year where we may have missed out on them. So if you had a previous collection, you may already have these cards. Where possible, I'm trying to focus on the more recent sets.
Yeah, like SRAM is, I don't know, like $4 or $5 maybe right now. But yeah, even though he only sees... play in like one deck, it's a very good deck, it's a very solid deck, and I think, you know, picking that up if you plan on playing anything with artifacts or enchantments is a good
I think it's a small variety. You know, he sees play in some of the you know, in any of the Auras decks, but also sometimes in like the Jeskai, what is it, in Soul Artifact, in things like the some versions of a Heroic. Like, I think he sees a little bit of play here and there.
He's a dwarf, right?
Yeah, he is a dwarf.
I need to play that in my Magna deck.
We need one drops for your Magna deck first. We'll get there. We'll get there.
But also, I'm just taking a quick look at Amit's list. He had SRAM, All That Glitters, and Ethereal Armor. It's kind of like...
Yep, we definitely have said those are good ones.
Yeah, it's things you need to have. He also had Chain to Rocks on there and Skyclave Apparition, so we're on the same page. All right, you want to do a couple more?
Why don't you go ahead? I just did that one.
Kenrith. Not really seen a lot of play in a lot of decks, but Winota definitely. Maybe some Yorion decks as well?
Yeah. Yeah, some Fires decks definitely want him. He's a great monosync. We were talking about this last week, I think. You know, you told me to limit myself to mono color here, and you've picked two ones that can't be played in one color.
Yeah, but it's a white card.
Oh, yeah.
It's not. I don't really consider it a monocolor card, but yeah. I mean, it plays... It's not a multicolored card. It's a white card with monocolored... Sorry, multicolored abilities. I got that in there. I think that's a good pickup. And you think it'll go down in price?
I think that one's probably going to hold steady.
It's like $5 or $6 now, maybe?
Is it?
Wow. But you don't need four of them. You only need like one or two, maybe.
Yeah.
I'll do a couple, then you can do a couple.
That's about right.
Okay. So Selfless Spirit, it's another good card, I think, that can not only sees play in spirits, but I think also shows up in a couple other decks as a way to protect your cards, protect your investment, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
What's another one? I think, Selfless Spirit's not too expensive. It's like $5 or $6 maybe. And it got a little pricey.
Yeah, Modern Spirits has driven that one up some. I remember it was cheaper, I think, during Standard than it is now.
Going back to sideboard cards, I think Rest in Peace is worth picking up as a staple to combat all of these graveyard decks.
Oof. Selfless Spirit is over $10.
Oh, wow.
Actually.
That's insane.
Yeah, so that's a tough one. Hopefully you guys have some of those around. Otherwise, that may be one where you want to look at and say, hey, this isn't going to get any cheaper. Maybe we can hold out for a reprint. Otherwise, yeah. If you're not playing the Spirits deck, I don't think you need it. So.
Yeah. I mean, and we have Innistrad coming up, so maybe it'll get a reprint there.
Yeah, or in some of the supplemental side.
Rest in Peace, I think, is also good. And maybe one more that I think has gotten really good is Thalia's Lieutenant. I kind of feel like Black White Humans is here to stay. And
yeah, and that's another buck card.
Yeah, and it's like really cheap. I think it's like $1 or $2. Yeah. I don't think it's too expensive. So I would pick those up. Do you have a couple that you want to talk about real quick?
So for me, I think that the Archon of Emeria is a big one. That's been showing up in a lot of different decks recently. It's a nice one that, again, from a recent set, not too expensive, and is played in a handful of places. If you get a chance, go ahead and grab yourself. You might not even need a play set, but I think two or three will probably be all that most of those decks run. Three of them is probably about the right number. Go ahead and grab them. You won't regret having them in your collection. Or wait, and they'll be even cheaper after rotation.
Yeah, right now it's kind of a staple. It's showing up more and more. So definitely picking up.
Question, are you counting lands that are white in this category?
No, those are going to be lands.
Okay, because I was going to say like Castle Arvidin Vale for white. But okay, we can come back to that.
Anything else? Yeah, I did a couple. You have any others that you want to talk about that you think are worth picking up?
Nothing else huge. I can't think of anything else that would be like, hey, I'm thinking about a white deck, or like, hey, I'm thinking about a blue-white or a red-white, a Jeskai deck. What are the white cards that I really need? I think that's probably about where we'd end up.
For me, I had a couple other ones that are kind of like iffy. Like Gideon of the Trials was really good in the past when we had like mono white devotion and we had to fight against all those combo decks. Maybe not so important now, but it might not be bad to pick up if you can find it for cheap. And what's another one? There's one more. And also I think Elspeth Conqueror's Death is another thing to pick up, especially if it gets cheap after rotation. Like, I think it could see some play later on. Like, itself play in what Fires of Devotion decks or, Yorion decks in the past. So,
okay.
Might not be a bad idea to pick up. And looking real...
I will also shout out, what I crossed out on his list, his number one here was Elite Spellbinder. Definitely showing up in quite a few different kind of lists. And has just been doing a great job for Black-White Humans. Been showing up in some of the Winota decks. Mm-hmm. Been showing up in the... just here and there, a bunch of different places. The green-white flyers, or green-white Cocoa deck. Man, brain today. Been a long weekend. So a lot of those same places where I've been saying, it's a nice card that's multifunctional as well as very strong. It's from a brand new set, so if you get a chance to get them for cheap, it's an important one to pick up, or if it's just something that you can grab, you'll find places to use it. It's, $13 right now.
Wow.
A piece?
For
is that a piece, or is that... Let me see if that's a piece. I'm having trouble reading this. Okay, never mind. That was for a playset. So it's about $13 for a playset. If you get a chance, go ahead and grab them. You'll find multiple places where you can use it. If you only get a couple, that might also be okay.
Anything else? He had Luminarch Aspirant is another card to pick up.
Yeah, this sounds like one of those cards that I play and not a lot of people do. I think that maybe we're seeing... Again, I feel like it has one home. Some of the like humans cards only have one home. Like I was gonna say the Giant Killer, but I feel like that only really has.
Yeah, I was considering putting that on the list. He also has Apostle of Purifying Light, and I think that's a really good card, to be honest. I think that could see play in a couple different types of decks.
It does. That's one of those sideboard cards. I think that I would get Rest in Peace first, mm-hmm. but there's some specific decks that would rather have the Apostle.
Like an aggressive deck.
Namely humans.
Yeah.
Namely humans.
All right. Oh, yeah. Gideon, Ally of Zendikar. I don't think that's actually playable in Pioneer now, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about picking up something that could be, not too expensive right now, but like the Gideons. I still think they've got a home.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that does white for us. You want to move on to blue?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's keep it moving.
Right, you go first.
Why don't you go ahead first?
You're the blue master.
Okay. So big one, I'm going to have to look at it for myself, is that wasn't playing during this time in paper. I've got to grab me some Shark Typhoons.
Yep. I opened one.
What's the damage there?
Yeah.
Let's type that one in.
I mean, again, this is going to rotate. I don't think it'll see play outside of Pioneer and Standard, though. So that's probably...
Does this not play any modern play? I haven't been playing much modern either. Well, I'm a poor...
Yeah.
Oh boy, that's $10 each. So this is going to be sticker shop the episode, as I've been used to some Moto prices. Even those I don't always love, but I'm going to be going through all these cards and saying, oh wow, that's what it costs in paper.
Yeah.
And these could change. If places start opening up and the demand goes up for a lot of these cards, might not hurt to go ahead and grab them before the prices spike. Otherwise, maybe look towards September, when these rotate, and you might be able to drop them. That's going to be a big one for me. Other than that, I'm trying to think what else is from these recent sets. Really been impactful mono blue. So what do you have at the top of your list?
From the newer sets, probably Thassa's Oracle. It's shown up as one of the premier win conditions for mini a combo deck.
Certainly.
Inverter, yeah. Lotus Sealed, Dredge, whatever that we had before, right? So if anything ever gets unbanned, it's probably worth having. And if it doesn't get banned itself, It's not too expensive. I think it's like, what, $3 or $4 maybe right now?
Let me look that one up, because that's one I'm not used to.
It might be seeing play in, what, CDH now?
People are talking about it in Modern.
Modern
certainly.
As well. So that is maybe one that you probably would want to pick up.
So what was your guess on the price?
Like $4 or $5?
It's $11.
What? Okay.
Is what I'm seeing right now.
Okay, that's never mind.
Player mid.
Speculators already got to it. Maybe hold off on that and wait till the... rotation.
It's a tough one. On the other hand, it may be something that you only need one of. You might not need a playset of these. So if you have one in your collection, that's not a bad place to be.
Unless you're playing mono blue. I haven't seen that happen in a long time.
Well, sure, but yeah, mono blue probably wouldn't be the kind of deck that's running this. Depending.
Yeah, so that's definitely something I think you'd want to pick up. What do you have? What's another card that you think is worth picking
so
up?
Another one, a couple that I'm worried about are, again, Theros, or not Theros, Throne of Eldraine, messing me up with Brazen Borrower. This is one of those ones that I've been held off from playing some blue decks on Moto because I have not picking myself up any Brazen Borrowers. Let's see what it looks like on...
It's like 12, maybe?
In paper. All right, you're guessing 12? I'm going to say...
It was 30-something before.
13.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still $25 on Moto, so that's where it's expensive. Really difficult. Absurd, yeah. So that's not easy. Not every deck that runs it plays a playset. You might only need two or three. I do think that there's a lot of blue decks that run it, though. Phoenix right now has been really picking up. I really like Brazen Borrowers in that deck, and other things do also run it, so... maybe it's one of those ones that if you can bite it off, I think it's worth getting. If you can just, find a stack of everything. So don't open singles, or don't open packs, buy the singles you need. But I was going to say, if you're going to open packs, maybe grab some Throne of Eldraine.
Yeah.
If somebody's got an old booster box they want to draft with you, say go ahead, because a lot of stuff from that set I think is going to show up on our conversation today.
So yeah, Brazen Borrower, definitely that was on my list. It's on MS
and
list
and right
well.
Along with that.
Yeah.
Right along with that, I think that the Fey Wishes.
Mm. Yeah, I was thinking of that. Was that on my list? Yeah, I did have that on my list. What deck's playing that, though, right now? I know it was in...
Not a lot. I think that it'll show up here and there. We see it sometimes in versions of, like, the Sultai Ultimatum. Mm-hmm. We see it in some Fires lists.
Is it in Omnath before?
It shows up in some versions of... Yeah, it was in some versions of Omnath before. It was in plenty of versions of Lotus Field, so it... definitely is one of those things that sees quite a bit of play, and not an expensive one either. That one's about 50 cents.
Yeah, and it's kind of, it's like a fringe card. It's like something that's very how can I say, it's like that, those last two slots, like, oh, what should I put there? Oh, well, I'll play Fae of Wishes. You know, it's like one of those types
of cards. I don't think it's one of those let's fill the last couple slots.
Because you play it or you don't, though, right?
It's a you play it or you don't, but if you're going to play it, you're building a sideboard for it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. But anyways, so yeah, Fae Wishes, agree. I think it's totally worth picking up for a couple cents. How about the Spirits package? I have Mausoleum Wanderer on my list. I have Supreme Phantom on my list. And Emmett had Rattle Chains on his list.
So I think it's nice to say that those are kind of a, you want it or you don't. If you're a Spirits player, obviously pick these up. Yeah. If you're not planning on playing Spirits specifically, I don't think that any of these have application outside of that deck. Yeah. So it's nice, you know, especially if you're something like you played Spirits in Standard or you played Spirits right now in Modern, nice and transferable. Mm-hmm. I don't think that if you're someone trying to be able to play a lot of new Pioneer decks that you want to go out and buy these, they're only going to have one home for you.
But I would still consider them staples.
Sure, yeah. So again, we're having two conversations here: staples versus, you know, budget buys.
Yeah,
and I'm more focused on one side. But hey, we'll keep dragging each other back across the finish line here. However that works. That's how that metaphor totally works.
Okay.
I'm not at all mixing those.
Your turn. You want to do the next couple? Say what cards you would recommend.
Give me another second to look at a couple more, see if there's anything big that I'm missing that I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna have to buy me some blah blah blah. So go ahead with something more.
If you don't have them, I would say Torrential Gearhulk maybe is still, I know they went up a little bit in price, but you know, now with like with the Opus card coming out and with Teferi not in play and all that stuff, I think that maybe it's good to invest in these. I think they'll become more of a, more of a staple in the future in control decks.
Yeah, it looks like that's gone up since beginning of this year. You know, beginning of this year was at about $5.
Yeah, $5 or
now
$6.
It's been floating around $12, $13.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be like, what, $20, $30, right? So,
let me go back to when it was in Standard is when it would be that price. Yeah, when it was in Standard, it was, you know, in the 20s.
Yeah. So
since it's been out of Standard, it's been much lower, hadn't broken $5 until pretty recently. Yeah,
I'd be very happy picking those up at 10 if I hadn't already picked up all mine at 5.
Okay. Yeah. I think, if you're a control player, probably a smart pickup along with a lot of the kind of control player packages. Mm. And that's where you can look at things like Dig Through Time. Mm-hmm. That's not an expensive card, but it's a pretty good one to pick up. I'm trying to think if there's anything else in the blue decks that is an expensive staple. I mean, there's plenty of, you know, pick up your counter spells, pick up your draw spells. Narset's probably a good one to think about. So maybe that's my next say. You know, if you hadn't gotten that in War of the Spark, Narset, solid card, still seeing play in quite a few places. Let's see what she costs in paper. Because
I mean, in Japan, at least, I've seen her like 400 to 500 yen, which is like $4 or $5. Wow.
So about $1.50. You know, she's an uncommon.
Yeah, USA's a little
bit. That's high for an uncommon. Yeah, Moto, very cheap. So not a worry in Moto.
But definitely a good card to have. And again, just like Gearhulk, you can play her in a variety of control decks. So, What else do we have here? I have a couple.
Well, control, even non-control decks. You know, I don't consider Phoenix to be a control deck, but I've liked the Narset in that. Mm-hmm. I've liked her in the sideboard of, you know, some of the, even just like Fires decks, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And combo decks too, of course, or anything, you know, like, you know, the one where they don't let you draw and you have Narset in play and you shuffle their library or their graveyard. So I've seen that. One more that I think most of us had on our list was Agent of Treachery. Kind of pricey, though.
Is it? Wow, I didn't know
it's
that.
Still pricey. I was thinking 7 or 8, but now it's, I believe it's more like 12.
I'm still seeing it at about 8 for a TCG player mid, so hopefully not too expensive.
Okay.
Maybe it peaked out right around 12, but it's kind of back neutralized.
It hasn't seen a lot of play, but I think that it's still a really good card to have. It was mainly Fires that played it, right?
Yeah, it was really just the Fires deck. I don't think that's been popular right now. Might come back if it does, and that's the kind of thing you'd like to be doing. It's a nice place to be.
Yeah, I think some Yorians had, like, the Blink, Yorian Blink deck had it, and some other stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if it goes cheaper, definitely worth picking up, I think. Looking at Amit, he had a couple more cards on his list.
He does have some good things we missed. He mentioned Mystical Dispute, Aether Gust. Both of those were, was that 20, core 20?
Dispute was in Eldraine, and Aether Gust, was core.
That's right. Yeah, they wouldn't have been in the same set.
Yeah.
Throne of Eldraine. Mystical Dispute is, you know, less than a dollar. It isn't uncommon. I wouldn't expect either of those to be expensive cards. I think that they are absolutely staples, and they're something that if you grab them, have them in your collection, they'll be used in plenty of different decks.
Yes. And he also had...
You want to move to black?
Just to kind of shout out what he had on his list. He had Omen of the Sea, which really I think only sees play in like the Yorion decks and stuff like that. Other control decks. And then he had like Thing in the Ice, Jace, Vin's Prodigy, and Sinister Sabotage. Haven't really seen a lot of play. Good cards, I guess. Maybe just kind of more...
Those are kind of some honorable mentions. Yeah. If you've got Jace, you'll find a home for him if you're a Jace player. If you... Titty really hasn't been finding a home right now. I feel like I owe it to, like Sidetrack Gita to go ahead and give Grixis Thing in the Ice another try. Maybe there's something there that we've been missing, but it's been a while since I've done that and taken a run at it.
Yeah, I'm fine. We're moving into black. You want to start us off?
Yeah, let's absolutely. With the most obvious. So, Thoughtseize.
Yeah.
It has been one of my complaints of the format. Let's see where we're at. What is the Thoughtseize tax right now?
Probably 12 or 13.
Luckily, something I haven't had to do for a while is pay the Thoughtseize tax. But okay, so let's see. This is the Double Masters version at 18. Let me see if this is a cheaper version.
It went back up again.
Nope, yeah, that's the cheapest version. $18, maybe 20 at the highest is what. So yes, this is one of those things that I've always kind of disliked about Pioneer. If you're playing a deck that has black mana in it, you're paying an $80 tax on that deck because you need to pick up this playset of Thoughtseize. There isn't an alternative. There isn't a budget version. There isn't a next best version. There isn't a reason to not
they
play
are
it. It's
not,
just one of those.
I was going to say, they are not afraid to reprint this, though. It's been reprinted like crazy. And when it is reprinted, it gets down to like $10-$11. So if you want to wait on the reprint.
Let me see if that's true. I don't know if that's true.
We had like Double Masters, and then, of course...
Double Masters is when it was reprinted, and it...
There's recent one, too, I think. Double Masters is the most recent, but
it didn't drop below like 13 with Double Masters included. Yeah,
but I think that's something. If you don't want to pay the $80 to get a playset now, then you can probably wait on a reprint on this one.
Okay. So maybe looks like the Theros version of it dropped to about that price, right around the Double Masters was printed. But even still, is at about 14-15. So
it was reprinted.
It's never going to bottom out.
It was reprinted in Time Shifter or Time Spiral, right? Is like the old version.
But sure, that didn't have any impact on price though.
Yeah, but I'm saying it did get reprinted.
But not enough to justify what it does to our format. It's something I always dislike, and I think people have heard me say this before: is that it's not something people should have to do is to pay $80 to play a card that has to be played.
Yeah.
But that's where we're at.
But you can see it across. You can play it across all different formats. So it's definitely something. We talked about before about how could you build this into like a modern or whatever other format deck, and like buying this for your black deck means that you're one step closer to being able to play modern or something else.
Okay. Yeah.
So Thoughtseize was the obvious one drop for card disruption, and of course Fatal Push, I would say, is the most played removal spell in black. And
yeah, I think that's pretty obvious. That's a nice uncommon. That one's all the way back from Aether Revolt. If you haven't picked it up in paper, it's a great time to do so. It's been about $2 since Double Masters dropped it.
Definitely great pickup. If you don't have your playset, get them now.
And that'll be played in whatever black decks you use, and whatever decks you have might end up wanting to splash black to play Thoughtseize Fatal Push. So it's a great one there.
It was like up to like $9, I think, before the reprints happened. It's crazy.
It wasn't recently. Let me see what it was back when it was in Standard, if I can find out. I'll be looking this up.
Probably like right when Pioneer was like last January or February, I remember seeing for like $8 or $9 in Japan. I was like, what? It's insane. I sold mine for like $4. My extra ones, four or five.
Yeah, so when it was in standard legal, kind of capped out just below $10. I don't think it ever passed over that. But and by the time it rotated, it was down to four or five. Mm-hmm. And it's dropped since then. So,
you want to cover the last one drop to talk about?
What is the last big one drop you wanted to talk about here?
The creature.
Just go ahead.
Can you find it on Knight of the Ebon Legion.
I think that's fair. I don't think that's one of those ones that sees play in a ton of decks. I think that if you're playing black aggro, it's a staple for that. If you're not planning on playing the black aggro decks, it's not as widely used.
Yeah, so mono black aggro, like you said, also Emmett's Vampire's deck. Another one drop there. But it's very good on rates. Gives you something to do with all extra mana. You know, if you have anything, you know, on turn three, if you don't have anything else to play, you play that and you deal, four damage or something like that. It's nasty if people don't have an answer for it. So definitely worth picking up. And they can't be too expensive. There's probably like, $3 or $4 now?
Yeah, you know, under $2. Yeah,
definitely worth picking up. And I think that's something...
I think it's more than that on Modo.
Like, I don't know if we're ever going to see an Abzan or, like, any other green-black or any other aggressive black deck other than mono-black. I think it would definitely see play in those archetypes. So, good investment. All right, your choice. I did two. What's your other
black? So I think where I might go as far as cross-format playability is some of the recent sweepers. So those have really come down to Extinction Event being one of the biggest sweepers recently. And I think the other one is Shadow's Verdict, which has been on a little bit of a decline, but I think is going to come right back. But I definitely need to look at the prices on those. I don't have any idea. So any guesses before
I look it up? Extinction Event is like five or six. And then I think the other one is probably like two or three maybe.
Extinction Event, it's a rare, not too expensive, about $1.
Oh, it's really cheap.
That's not bad at all. But I think it's worth picking up. Grab, you know, one or two copies. They'll see play in the blue black control decks. They'll see play in any of the Niv decks, you know, anything that can Niv to light for it. You know, even some other places it has seen play, you know, maybe a little bit less than when the Sultai rec decks were very popular, but
I think still very good. I think in past formats, seasons, it was a little bit higher, especially when it's popular.
Hey, standard Shadow's Verdict's cheap too. About 36 cents is what I'm seeing. So yeah, maybe 50 cents at most.
Good pickups, good sideboard cards.
And you know, this might be interesting when we listen to this episode way down the road and things are like a completely different price. We'll be like, oh man, why weren't we picking up 50 copies of the Shadow Verdict if it was 25 cents?
So,
well, we'll see. Don't go pick up. This is not financial advice. We are bad people.
Question.
Or we are bad.
Question. Yes. Is Valky worth picking up? And Valky's a black card, right?
Okay, so Valky's not a black card. It's a multicolored card. I would love to say, I was going to bring that up, but...
should we save this for
Valky's a very good card. It's seeing play in multiple places. Price wise, right now, it's not at a ridiculous price. It certainly hasn't dropped to being, you know, cheap.
Like 20 something, 24?
Yeah, you know, under 20, 15 to 20 probably. Okay. I'm seeing it at like 17.66 at the very second TCG player mid that I'm looking at this. You know, you can probably find it a little bit cheaper than that looking around.
I mean, it was $60 before, so.
It's like 50, I'm looking 60. At market price for $15. So if you only need one copy, I think that that's probably not bad. If you're playing a deck that's somehow running like three or four, you know, that might be wait, see if you're playing the specific deck that runs it. I think that if you're looking for a black card and you're like, hey, what else do I need to add to my collection? We'll be seeing multiple places. Grabbing one Valky is not a bad idea.
Yeah. Bring to light, you know, like you, Ignomatic, I think plays it or Niv-Mizzet maybe.
Yes, mostly the Bring to Light decks, some of the Kroxa decks, you know, some of the other
Luris black
decks.
Red so ones.
He's playing a few places.
Yeah, so not a bad pickup, especially if you can get it for like $15, I think. And again, we're not saying you have to go out and buy these. If people are trading again, hopefully you can trade for some of this stuff too.
Oh, God.
That'd be nice. Can't wait to do that again.
Be nice. Must be nice. Must be nice.
Jund Sacrifice is big now. I'd say Cauldron Familiar is definitely worth picking up.
Cauldron Familiar is a nice one. Sees play in that specific deck. I also think that if you're going to grab that, you might have to look at the Bola Citadel.
Yeah. Yeah, Bola Citadel's not seeing play, because I remember Amit saying that some people have cut it for Korvold.
It's not seeing play.
Yeah.
It's now seeing play in the sideboard, whereas before, okay. Bola Citadel was in the main and Korvold was in the sideboard. So, you know, that's not a cheap card. It's here. Let's
really?
Find
I
out.
Thought
it's,
it was like $3 or $2.
It's like $9.
Oh, which one? The Bola Citadel?
Bola Citadel, what? Yeah.
That's crazy. That went up.
Been on an upturn, yeah. I think mostly because of this deck, and maybe people are buying back into it for paper.
The Cauldron Familiar is probably
Think, Cauldron Familiar is probably very little because it got banned out of Standard. Let me find out what it is, though.
It's going to be super cheap.
And, you know, it's played in Historic, but that doesn't mean doesn't much for paper prices. Yeah, 75 cents is what I'm seeing, and that's mid. You can probably find it a lot cheaper, you know, 25 to 50 cents.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple more cards that Amit would happy that I talked about. So Calatus, Trader of Get, it's Vampire. Great sideboard card. Maybe main board, I'm not sure. Might be too heavy on the main board, but really like that. Soren, Imperious Bloodlord, I think is worth picking up. Might be a little pricey, though. I think it's like 13,
I think
14.
Soren's one of those. It is expensive. It is pretty true. Pretty pricey. I think Soren's one of those that if you know you're going to play the Vampires deck, grab him.
Yeah.
If you're not, he's not a staple.
Calatus, yes, though.
Calatus used to be a big staple. He used to be seen play in pretty much all of the black decks as their sideboard option. And I feel like that's dropped off a lot. He's no longer, you know, monolithic his play.
I think it's because we don't see a lot of control decks anymore. You know, like blue-black control. This is like a good finisher. You just kill everything with that deck.
Well, you know, he suffers from the fact that he is pushable. Yeah, he can be pushed as a black. So if you're playing like a pure control, that's not the best. I also just think that
who's going to be playing Fatal Push against a control deck, though, right?
Well, if you're not playing one of those controlling decks, though, it's very awkward because he's, you know, he's just not like you're usually playing a Lurrus deck.
Yeah.
Like, there's no deck that really plays like 4 and 5 drops in black. Like who does that?
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem, you know, if it was multicolored maybe then it could be played in Niv, but as it is, it's kind of just an awkward position where like it's a very powerful card that just doesn't have a great home other than like vampires and stuff.
Is he expensive right now? Deck. Is he expensive right now? Or is he pretty cheap?
Let's find out where he is. Calatus. Yeah, I skipped looking him up because I know that I've got my own copy. You know, he's still $20.
That's expensive still. Maybe wait for a reprint if he's not that important.
It's not comparable to where he is Spike in Standard, where he was like 40 or something. But you might be able to find him cheaper than that. You know, again, market price a lot lower, so you might be able to find him on eBay or TCG Player or wherever you buy cards. We're in no way affiliated with TCG Player. No. I keep mentioning them because I'm currently on Goldfish just for easy lookup, and that's what they
use,
list.
Use whoever you want.
Yeah.
We don't promote anybody here.
Unless you guys pay us. If you guys want to pay us, hey, Channel Fireball, hey, TSG Player, hey, how do you get on us? We totally have a huge following, right, guys?
Yeah, thousands and thousands of followers. Looking at Amit's list, he's got Rankle on there. I like Rankle. I think Rankle's probably worth picking up.
You know, I think he's got Rankle on here. He's got Mono Black Aggro 1 drops. I think he's kind of saying, like, hey, if you're trying to own what you need to play all of the format, here's probably the top 10 to 20 cards.
Yeah.
I think that's valid. I think that if you're not playing Mono Black Aggro, don't bother with Rankle. Don't bother with the Vampires. You know, don't bother with Soren unless you know you're going to play the deck. I was trying to stick to ones that are going to be seen in multiple places.
If we're looking at only cards that are going to be really versatile, then I would say like Thoughtseize, Fatal Push, and the Extinction Event and Shadows Verdict. Those are the ones you really need to worry about if you want to play any kind of black deck. But if you want to play like the specific ones, then definitely pick up the other cards we talked about.
Oh, and I am worried.
He has a 4-mana Liliana in there, too. The new one.
Is that the Zombies one?
No, the one that makes you discard. And if they can't, they lose 3 life. And then the -3 is minus X minus X equal to the number of cards in your graveyard. And then the ultimate is each upkeep or each combat step, you get to put a card back into play, or a creature card back into play from your graveyard, and it gains haste.
Okay.
So that's what he has in there. I like that card. I think it's a good sideboard card, at least.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
I'm guessing maybe he was playing that in his Arcanist deck. I mean, I was playing it in my Wastenaut deck, but...
Ooh, did we miss any cards from Arcanist yet? I don't think so.
I don't think so. We talked about Fatal Push and...
Probably Stitcher Supplier should be mentioned.
Yeah, maybe Stitcher Supplier.
That, that's a, is that a common?
Yeah, uncommon.
I think it's either a common or uncommon.
It's kind of pricey, though. I think, you know, it's like $4, maybe? Three or four.
That's definitely a card we should have mentioned. That one is, you know, so it's 2019 is why we haven't mentioned it. I think that you and I were both playing in paper.
Yeah. Much more. I don't have it in playset, though.
Oh, yeah, it's $4 to $5, so that's definitely one worth picking up. Sees play in multiple decks.
Definitely.
Probably should have been mentioned.
Definitely. All right, I think...
Come on, why didn't you mention that one, right?
I forgot. I don't play it, that's why. Yeah. All right, move on to red.
Sounds good to me. So we were just talking about the Pyromancer deck. Should we be saying the red cards from there? Do those see play anywhere else? I feel like Dreadhorde Arcanist is probably a good one.
It is.
Because that does see play in more than one deck.
I know.
Let's go ahead and look it up.
I was going to say Arcanist also sees play in like Heroic sometimes.
Yeah, in the Heroic decks,
along
it absolutely
with the
does. You know, Claudio is playing like a Grixis Bring to Light with this guy. Yeah, he's around $3. I think that's a card worth $2 to $3 worth picking up.
Definitely worth picking up for that price, because it was getting really pricey until they banned it in Legacy or something, right?
Something like that.
So yeah,
has that seen any reprints?
The other
Time Spiral Remastered, but that's the time shifted version.
And should we talk about all the burn cards too in here?
Yeah, I think that most of the burn cards. So red isn't the deepest color in Pioneer as far as like, you know, red decks, red aggro decks. I think that if you're playing the burns decks, grab the burn package. You know, things like Eidolon, things like the Soulscar Mage and Monastery Swiftspear, a little bit pricey because they see play in Modern. But if you know you're going to be playing aggro, absolutely go ahead and grab those. Those will always have a home. I don't think you will ever be disappointed if you go and spend your money on red aggress prowess creatures.
Swiftspear, Soulscar, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, Soulscar is a little bit of an investment, though.
If you are trying to be, you know, I want to be able to play as many decks as possible, I think the one that, for me, biggest in red, if you're not in a Lurrus deck, you're playing Bonecrusher Giant.
Yeah, definitely. And that's not too expensive now. I want to say it's like a dollar or two.
Ooh, if that's true, that's big, because it's still expensive online,
I know. It's expensive online, but I don't think it's expensive in paper.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so yeah, this is saying $1.50 on tabletop. $11 on Modo is what I'm seeing, so go ahead and buy it in paper, you know, especially before everyone else realizes and goes and say, hey, I'm getting off Modo, I'm getting into paper, I don't have any Bonecrusher Giants, let's grab them.
Seriously, it's like the premier red burn creature spell in Pioneer, I would say. More so than like even Wild Slash now, you know, or something like that.
Now, what's interesting is, you know, we don't see it in Phoenix. So that's kind of the one thing you can say.
It's not a spell.
Well, it is a spell, but it's just not, it's more expensive. It's not a one mana spell.
Yeah.
That hurts for them.
Yeah. But definitely pick that up. What's another one? So before we move away from Dreadheart Arcanist, I think maybe Young Pyromancer is worth a mention. Emmett had on his list. I had him on my list as well.
Yeah, I think if you're going to play the Young Pyromancer deck, grab a Young Pyromancer.
Not
if you're going to play Phoenix, grab the Phoenix and the parts that go with it. So that's going to be Phoenix. That's going to be Lightning Axe.
And Phoenix?
That's going to be... let's see what Arclight Phoenix is at.
Kind of
I know I've still
now.
Got... Not as pricey as when it was, you know, huge and modern, one of the best decks. Oh, it's at $8. I think that's pretty reasonable. At its peak, it was at...
30?
Here, where were we?
Yeah.
30, yeah. That was when it was legal in modern... Yeah, it's down quite a bit from there. But it's up from where it was at beginning of the year. It was at about $4. So people are buying back into it. It's seeing play in Pioneer right now. And that's nice to see. You know, what that's telling me is that people are playing Pioneer Physical Magic. Otherwise, we wouldn't be seeing a spike in Arclight Phoenix prices, right?
True. What other cards do you have on your list?
Nice. That's nice. So here's one is that, you know, Fire's Invention.
Yes.
A little bit worried about that one. Going to have to pick up that. Let's see what that runs. Because
it was like a dollar or two before.
You might be able to lump all the Fire's Invention decks together, but they don't always look the same. There was a time where you had Enigmatic Fires, you had Omnath Fires.
Nuka Fires.
Jeskai Fires. Let's see what Fires Invention is at. 50 cents. Hey, yeah. Beautiful. Okay, go ahead and grab yourself probably a playset. If you're going to run them, you're probably running a playset, so it's worth grabbing all four. Yeah. Price isn't likely to change too much, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it's not really a tier one deck, but it can do fun and powerful things. It's definitely something you can enjoy doing if you're more of a casual Pioneer player, I would say.
It's shown up in the top tables enough times in different formats that something else is going to print that breaks it. I think it's a great card to have in
definitely,
your collection.
Definitely, I can agree with that. I would say another one-off that you want to pick up if you're playing this deck is Ingrath's Marauders, which sees play in Winota. It's kind of a key card for that.
It is, yeah. If you're playing that deck specifically, grab it.
Yeah. And I don't know, is there anything else? I think...
Another one here I'm worried about is Goldspan Dragon. Mm,
you think... Okay, I don't have that on my list. Why do you recommend that?
I mean, I think it is going to see play. I think that... For a little while, it was seeing a lot of play. Some other decks have replaced it. I think it'll find another home. Kind of meta-dependent. Oof, that is expensive right now. Okay, so maybe I'm going to change my subject. $22 online, or $22 in paper right now. You know, maybe 15 to 20 if you can find a good price for it.
Nah, not worth it, I think.
That's pretty high. If it drops, it'll... You know, that's the thing, though. It won't drop in rotation.
Yeah, it won't drop in rotation.
It might even go up in rotation.
Yeah, but I don't think
I don't
it's
want to
as
say
necessary.
Jump on it now. Yeah, I don't know if I can say jump on it now, but I don't think it's going to get significantly cheaper. Maybe hold it if you've got it.
Yeah, definitely. If you need it, you know, in the near future, definitely hold on to it. But otherwise, you know, I'm not too worried about picking it up at that price. I'll wait until, you know, like a year later. I don't think there's anything else in red. We had Anger of the Gods. I can kind of see that. I think Emmett had that.
That's a good one as an older, staple. I think that sees play in a few places.
It's really cheap now. It's like $2 or $3 probably.
You know, I was just looking at when was the 6-mana Chandra. I'm kind of interested.
Awaken Inferno.
Yeah. Not Flame Caller, but Awaken Inferno.
I don't think it's a staple. I think it's on the cusp, though. It's on the edge.
It's one of those things that shows up as a one of in a handful of
sideboards.
Yeah. Oh, that was Core 2020. So maybe I have a copy of that somewhere sitting around. That's about a $10 card.
Not bad.
I don't love it. Don't hate it. If you get a chance, pick one copy up. That's probably fine. I'm also looking at like one copy of Embercleave, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's another one. You know, it's not really seeing play in Pioneer right now. Might be a nice thing to have in your Pioneer collection,
so.
But hold off. Play it in the next set, or you know, grab it after rotation. Hopefully,
I could definitely agree with that.
All right, we got one more big color to cover before
calling it
before
day.
Wrapping up today. Yeah.
So, green. I think everyone's got elves on their list, right?
Sure. So, if you're talking about core cards, you know, grab your elves. I don't think they're anything. You know, they're pennies in the dollar.
Llanowar Elf is super cheap. Well, how about Llanowar Mystic? Or say Elvish Mystic.
Or Elvish Mystic? Let's find out.
I would say that's a little bit rare. I've seen people, like, I've seen buy lists for it here in Japan. People trying to pick it up because it's a little bit rare. Because Llanowar has been printed like crazy. It was in Dominaria and a couple other, I think, core sets after that.
So it's still, you know, under 50 cents over here.
It's not bad then.
Or about 50 cents. Yeah, it's not going to add a big cost to any decks that it's playing it.
Okay, so yeah, elves definitely on the list. Any other elves we can talk about, you think?
I don't think that there's any elf staples. You're not going to... If you're trying to play an elf deck, you know, that's your prerogative. Mm-hmm. I don't think that if you're picking up elf lords that you're going to be doing a lot for your, you know, cross-format playability. You know, Steelleaf Champion, if you're playing mono-green... that deck has been on such a downturn, but I think it will certainly see it come back.
Yeah.
What does a Steel Leaf Champion run?
Like 50 cents, probably.
Probably not much. It's only a rare.
But going back to mana creatures, you know, outside...
$2, yeah.
Outside of the elves, Sylvan Caryatid, yes, I would say. Worth picking up. It's probably like $6 now, though. But maybe not so much for the birds, or sorry, the goose, the gilded goose. What do you think?
Okay. I mean, I think goose is definitely a staple. It's one of those things you should have in your collection. Sylvan Caryatid, by, you know, $5 to $6. Gilded juice.
$4 or $5.
What does a goose cost? So it's a rare. It's about $2.
Okay. Might be worth picking up then.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable. If you wait, that's maybe fine. It depends on what decks you're playing. Yeah. But definitely a staple. It does see play in more than one deck, so you should be able to grab them, be pretty happy with
and
yourself.
And it could see play in what the Sacrifice deck, I think, or the Food deck. And I think those decks have been trying to make inroads in Historic, at least. Maybe we'll see them jump over to Pioneer in the future.
Maybe.
So yeah, we had Mana Dorks. How much was the Still Leaf Champion? That was like $1?
Yeah, it was like $2.
Oh, $2?
Or maybe it was, no, it was 50 cents, okay. If I want to say. Yeah. Let me click back. Oh, it was $2. Okay. Yeah, I'm right.
Any other big creatures you think we should talk about?
Creatures? So I definitely think, you know, I'm going through and looking at, hey, grab your Throne of Eldraine cards. So I wouldn't mind having a Question Beast in my collection.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a give or take because it's not really seeing play right now. But, you know, Great Henge, again, if you're playing any kind of green bigger deck, yeah, that's going to see a lot of play. You might want it.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's, you know, it's $50.
No way.
That's a card that they're... It's yeah. ridiculous that they didn't reprint it. Lovestruck Beast, I think, is in the same page. Go ahead and grab your copies if you can. Otherwise, that's a very popular deck in Standard right now. Might drop off even more. Oh, you know what? Here we go. I was expecting that to be more expensive in line with the other rare... adventure creatures, that's about 50 cents, under 50 cents. So you should be able to get that one for pretty cheap.
Lovestruck Beast, you said?
Yeah, Lovestruck
pretty
Beast.
Cheap. I have, as far as like one of my big creatures, I have Elder Gargaroth. I think that's also worth picking up. And it's kind of cheap now. It was more expensive. I want to say it's like $12.
Okay, or so actually you don't 15. Want more than one copy, probably.
Yeah, maybe like one or two tops. I don't know. Will that go down in price? Come rotation? It's M21, right? I think right now it sees a lot of play in... Well, it sees a lot of play in Historic, I know. But I think it sees a lot of play in Standard, too. I'm not totally sure. I don't follow it too much.
Oh, yeah. I don't follow it too much either. I'm just going through and thinking, like, you know, if I missed this set, what are some more things I need?
With Gargaroth.
Yeah, definitely. Zendikar, not too much.
Nissa. Nissa Who Shakes the World, definitely worth picking up. I think that's definitely a staple.
Yeah, that's definitely a staple. It's not seeing a lot of cross-deck play right now. We were talking about this when we were talking about five drops the other day. I think that, yeah, grab it if you want it. You might have it from when you played War, if you played then. Certainly a standard staple.
Yeah, what, Mono Green, Planeswalkers, before it was, you know, in all of the Uro decks, and maybe an Omnath decks. Maybe not an Omnath decks. But
here's a good one. How about Scavenging Ooze?
Yes, definitely recommend Scavenging Ooze. Sideboard
again,
or
not
main
a new
board.
One. Yeah, both.
And it's cheap now, right? It's like $3, $4 maybe.
Let's give it a search. I haven't played Standard in way too long. Scavenging Ooze. Why is Commander 2016 one came up? Yeah, so that's a buck or two.
Okay, it's really cheap.
Yeah, it is.
Now I have a question. Collected Company, Eldritch Evolution, would you include both of those or just one of those or what?
Collected Company, yes. So it's one of those tough ones because its price is mostly held up by Modern costs, but it is a format staple. It will see play in multiple decks. You know, you'll have access to multiple decks because you've picked up Collected Company. It's smart to have it in your repertoire, in your reserves. Go ahead and get it if you can. It's not really going to get cheaper without a reprint.
Yeah. Any other green cards? I have Vivian Arcbow on mine just because of, you know, again, the mono green deck that, you know, lets you search stuff up. Maybe that's worth picking up. I don't think it's too expensive.
I feel like Kaldheim had a handful of things that I'd be interested in picking some up. You know, like I don't have a Vorin Klexen paper.
Okay.
Definitely. I don't have any Asika's Chariot in paper.
Yeah, the Chariot, I think, is
Realm Walker. I think Realm Walker, you know, not seeing play right now, but should if we see any kind of Changeling deck or Tribal deck. I think one of Atoski might be good. Mm-hmm. I know all these kind of have some, you know, reasonably high price because of Standard.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all good cards. If you're going to play in Pioneer, you might need these. So not something worth looking at.
I have one more green card and then we can end it after this. Oath of Nissa. Yeah, is that worth picking up?
You know, I don't think that's an expensive card. Now, let's see where that's gone down to.
So Mana Fixer, grabs your creatures, put something in the graveyard too if you're playing four of them and they just, you know, you have to sacrifice one.
yeah, it's floating around $3. I don't think that it's a crazy expensive card. Probably not a bad idea to have it. Currently not a big staple, but probably should be in the future. Yeah. So it'll pay off if you grab it.
So hopefully, you know, going over these cards and doing this kind of, theory talk of sorts, you know, hopefully this will help people kind of get in the state of mind for playing Paper Magic over the next few months. I definitely think we'll be back by the end of the year. And
yeah, hopefully.
And I'm thinking, you know, we'll do a couple more of these, maybe not right away, but maybe over the next few months. You know, we'll finish up the rest of the colors, rest of the cards. And, you know, by the time we get done, hopefully everyone will be ready to start sleeving up their decks again.
Hopefully. Yeah, that sounds great. So, yeah, we'll do a little bit more of this. We still have some other colors to go over. We're reaching about an hour here. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this kind of content. If you like this, you can find more of it from us at MTG Pioneer is the best place to reach us. As well as there's a link to our Discord there, which you can find, you know, if you're looking for any of the episode links for old episodes, if you're looking to contact us in any way, you know, have conversations, talk with other Pioneer players, great place to be. Go ahead and join us there.
Yeah, and you guys can find me on Twitter at Yoshwenky, Yoschwenky. And yeah, I'm guessing there's going to be some cards that we miss, so definitely hop on our Discord or hop on Twitter at MTG Pioneer and let us know what we miss, what cards you think should be, you know, staples in the format for the monocolored cards.
Yep. All right. Thanks, guys, so much for listening. We are your first Pioneers podcast. We look forward to being your go-to source for Pioneer information online. The first Pioneers, signing off.